Amen. That was fun. I like that. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Bethany, for the music this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Philippians. Big surprise there. The book of Philippians, chapter number one. Book of Philippians, chapter number one. Great singing this morning. Great baptism. Proud of you, Ethan. That's fantastic. And thankful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all that He has done for us. Chapter number one in the book of Philippians, we're really going to start in verse number 22, where we left off from last week, verse number 22. But just to get an idea of where we are, if you haven't been here for a little bit, this is the epistle of joy. The Apostle Paul writing from prison, writing on joy. And I have to admit, sometimes when I'm preparing to preach, I kind of put myself in these situations because I would imagine that I'm much like others as well. We all have infirmity of the flesh. We all have things that we experience and go through. And I want to think that if I was experiencing all that Paul had gone through, that I would also be writing on joy and how to have joy and how to understand how to have joy in our lives. And you've heard me mention before that this is a unhappy generation, a generation that lacks joy, a generation that doesn't know where joy comes, and the world is out there trying to sell us joy and trying to tell us that it comes from all these different things, and we have to be reminded that true and lasting joy only comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul has been going through these experiences and saying, listen, my situation that I've gone through has emboldened other people. Remember that. There's people sharing the gospel that were not sharing the gospel before. Not only that, the experience I'm going through, the gospel is going across the palace and among the palace guard, and I'm right where God wants me to be because people are hearing the gospel. And then he mentions that even though there's others that are preaching Christ of contention, he says, as long as Christ is being preached, that's all that matters to me. And so he reminds us, even no matter what other people are saying, that we can find joy in the Lord, no matter what other voices are being heard or being spoken around us. And then as way of review also, he then begins to say, well, listen, I understand, and I made the point last week, that it's one thing to say, well, I'm going to trust the Lord in this imprisonment. I'm going to trust the Lord during this time. But then we talked about trusting the Lord even in death and finding joy even in that. And the Apostle Paul says, well, for me to live is Christ. That's our life. That is what my purpose is. He is who I want to serve, and to die is gain. And it shows us the reality of forgiveness of sin, the reality of heaven, the reality of the sufficiency of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then this morning, in these verses, I want to answer another question. So we can find joy in circumstances, no matter what other people are saying. We can find joy even in death through Christ, right? And it's almost as though we can sometimes say, well, dying for Christ, there's glory in that, right? I can die for Christ and give my life for Him, and there's glory in that. But in these four verses this morning, let's ask ourselves this question. What if God's will is for us to remain? What if God's will is for us to continue to produce fruit in spite of our circumstances? What if it's God's will that we be ministering to others even during a time where a lot of us would say, well, I'm on pause right now. Paul's in prison, but he is continuing to produce fruit. And so the question I ask for you, what situation are you experiencing? Or what trial are you going through where you begin to ask yourself, you say, well, I'm of no use right now, but when this is over, then I will be. Or maybe you're in a situation where you think that God has forgotten about you. Or you're in a situation where you think that you're in a time of your life. Maybe you're older and you think, well, God's time of using me is over. We'll let the younger people be used of God. Or maybe you would think, well, I've had my chance, but that door has closed. All those thoughts could have gone through Paul's mind, right? He's imprisoned. He's been in persecution. He's had trials and difficulties. He's been shipwrecked. He's been bitten by a snake, on and on. And he could have easily said, well, the time for my use is over. I'm just going to just kind of check out for a while. But no, he says, lest to die is gain. I recognize that. But it's needful for me to stay because God is still using me to help and encourage those around me. So the Apostle Paul, once again, you know, is writing from prison. And again, as I've said every week in Philippians, yet his words continually are not filled with despair, but are filled with purpose. See, even in difficult times, we can still have purpose if it comes from God. So he lets us understand that God is still producing fruit. Even though there's a pull as a believer to be in heaven, that God can still produce fruit in our lives. So in verse number 22 in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, the Bible says this, but if I live in the flesh, now the flesh he's talking about his body, not the sinful nature, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the body that he has. So if I remain here is basically what he is saying. This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. I don't know what God would have me to do. I don't know what to do because I recognize if I do depart, it is even better than being here. So from verse 22, I believe that Paul understood something clearly. As long as God has you here, there is work to do. That as long as God has you here, there is still work to do. I think it's a discouragement tactic of the devil to begin to say, well, your time has passed. God's not going to use you anymore, or whatever it may be, or whatever you may be experiencing. But Paul is going to say, as long as he has me here, there is work to do. See, the Christian life is not random. We believe that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. If we have breath in our lungs, God has a purpose for us in our life. And oftentimes, as a Christian, listen, oftentimes as a Christian, fruit does not grow in comfort, but it grows through difficulty and trials. It goes through hardship. I have to admit, now I'm not saying that I pray for trials, but I have to admit, I have learned a lot through my trials in my life. God has really been able to get my attention and teach me more through trials and through difficulties than any other way. So fruit doesn't always grow in comfort. It grows through trials and tribulations and labor. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here, just because I'm experiencing this bondage doesn't mean that God does not have a plan and a purpose. Would it not have been easier for Paul, as he has already said, I recognize to die is gain, but what if God still has a plan for you? Paul was not just living. His desire was to produce fruit. So he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. Now here becomes the decision in verse number 23. He says, I am in a strait betwixt two, a decision between dying and going to be with the Lord, which is ultimately his goal, or remaining and continuing to produce fruit for these people, this church in Philippi, as he says, in verse number 23, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. His desire, he says, of course, and let me just park here for just one moment as I do often. Every true believer, that is your greatest desire, is to be with the Lord. If that is not your desire, something is wrong in your relationship in your life. That is our desire. He says, of course I want to be with the Lord, but I recognize something important in verse number 23. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Verse 24, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Boy, does that tell me something about Paul? He's saying it's not about me. My life is about my relationship with Christ and about how God is using me for other people. So often it's easy to get the attention on ourselves. In other words, Paul is saying, if you're still here, God is not finished with you. Well, what can you do? Well, there are souls that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's people to disciple. You know, if there's ever a time where the younger generation needs the older generation, it's now. For older people to begin to reach out to younger men and women and to disciple them and to teach them and to carry them along and to help them. The Bible says, you which are spiritual, right? We reach out and we work with those around us. I can still remember people who came along me and beside me and helped me and encouraged me. There's souls to reach. There's people to disciple. And your life can still glorify Christ. I was reading this week, and I've long been interested in the life of Adoniram Judson. He was a missionary to Burma. And my goodness, did this man go through some trials in his life. He wasn't saved early in his life, and his parents would pray for him, and he came to know Christ, and he ends up going to be a missionary in Burma. And he was heavily involved in translation work and putting the Bible in the Burmese language and different things, but he was widowed twice. His wife died too. His first wife died, and then he met another woman, and then she died. And then the third time he met another lady, married her, and she only outlived him by a few days. But he was imprisoned for a year and a half. He went through trials and tribulations. But I read this quote that he wrote. I love this. He says this: "There is no success without sacrifice. If you succeed without sacrifice, it's because someone has suffered before you. If you sacrifice without success, it's because someone will succeed after you." And he's talking about the trials and the things that we go through. And Adoniram Judson was highly effective. Even when he came back to America, he was celebrity status. He didn't want that because he wanted his work there. But he talked about his sacrifice and the things that he went through. And so the Apostle Paul is reminding us that we can go through difficult times. But I've read this other quote by Adoniram Judson about his trials, and I just love this. He said this: "If I had not felt certain that every additional trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not have survived my accumulated suffering." Whoa. In other words, even through trials and difficulties, he recognized that God was using that in his life. So often, Christian, we have this idea that we're going through a trial that it's like we're checking out for a while. Or we're going through a difficulty, oh, God can't use me. And the matter of fact, that's some of the time that God can use you the most to help and reach other people in the midst of your difficulty. You know that I've had cancer, still have cancer in both kidneys. And you'd be surprised how many people that I'm able to talk to about cancer because I've experienced that or do experience that in my life. And it's a common bond we have. And so a person could say, well, I'm just going to check out. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say anything. But yet you can use the trials and things you go through in your life to help other people. Paul says, yes. Yes, of course, as a Christian, to die is the greatest thing to be with Christ. But I recognize that God is still using me, that God still has a plan for my life. And so he says, I'm at a strait betwixt two. Yes, he is. But he says, it's to abide in the flesh is needful for you. To depart is not a loss, it's a gain for a believer. But he recognizes that God is still working in his life. As he says in verse number 24, which I read already, there is a plan. Ministry is not about ourselves, it's about other people. Paul is recognizing and showing us here that what he has as a mature believer is beyond himself. Sometimes God keeps you and allows you to go through situations, not for you necessarily, but for other people. And I've seen that happen time and time again. How we've gone through things and experienced things, and God has used that to help other people. As Adoniram Judson says, if I had not felt certain that every additional trial was ordered by infinite love and mercy, I could not have survived my accumulated suffering. So Paul reminds us here, nevertheless, he says, To abide here is more needful for you. You know what that tells me? That Paul recognized the purpose and the divine calling upon his life. That God had a plan for him. That God was using him. That God was not done with him. Again, remind yourself of the setting. Can you imagine writing this? It's almost like he's out and he's moving around freely. No, he's imprisoned. He's held captive, remember? And imagine what he's saying. He's saying, no, it's needful for me to stay. We're like, Paul, you're in prison. You can't be of any use right now. No, God is still producing fruit, obviously, with the letters he's writing, but he is being used. What experience do you have in your life, even now, where you feel like God can't use me right now? God's not going to use this for any glory, or God's not able to produce fruit in me. God's done with me. What Paul reminds us that that is not the case. I want to remain to share the gospel. Then he says in verse number 25, he says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for furtherance and joy and faith. He says, I have this confidence in what the Lord is doing. I believe, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. There's that word again. He's talking about joy. I will remain for your joy in your faith. Do you realize if churches could get a hold of that right there? That everybody in this room, that becomes our goal. Not our joy, but someone else's joy. Someone else's faith. And that we can begin to take our minds off of ourselves and begin to say, my life is about being used of God to minister to other people. He says, I know it's necessary for me to remain for your joy and for your faith. So I'm preaching through these verses rather quickly because I have like 7 applications I got to get to this morning and help us apply exactly what this means in our life and how we recognize the importance of even going through difficulty and how God is still using and working in our life. As a Christian, God has a plan. This is just kind of introduction to our application. But God has a plan for our life. It's not just getting to heaven. We know we're going to heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about who you take with you and ministering to other people around you. Who you work with. Who you disciple. How God uses you in your life. So here's 7 applications for us this morning. 7 ways that we can apply this portion of Scripture to our lives. And you recognize, and I am very stubborn when it comes to preaching verse by verse because I really like to talk about every verse, which is why we've been in Hebrews maybe close to a year on Wednesday nights, and we're just kind of not even halfway through where we're supposed to be in our study. But we talk about the verses, understand, and we recognize that the power of God is found in the Word of God. It's not about me, it's about what God has to say and applying the Word of God to our lives. So the first thing that we recognize in these passages this morning, number one, whether living or dying, Christ is to be magnified. We got that from earlier in this portion of Scripture where it talks about that Christ be lifted up, Christ be magnified. So whether we live or die, Christ is to be magnified. Obviously, we recognize that Christ is magnified in death because he's the one that's taking us to heaven. But did you know Christ should be magnified in our life? In the way we live, in the way that we experience life in this world. Number 2 application. A fruitful life can be used to point other people to Christ. What did he say in verse number 24? Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So a fruitful life is a life that points others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever, I used to ask people this question. I stopped because it's very dangerous, okay? But I used to ask people this question after I would get to know them and I would meet them and I would talk with them. I would say, what was your first impression of me? Have you ever asked anybody that? Don't do it, all right? It's not something you want to do. It's not worth the risk. And I started getting answers like this, which I could not understand. One person said, when I first met you, and it wasn't here at this church, when I first met you, I thought you were very arrogant. Do I seem arrogant? Ray, come on now, right? And so, you know, like people have these different ideas, right? And so you have all these different ideas that people have and different things. But let me ask you something. If someone looks at your life, is the fruit you're producing, is it directing them towards Christ? You know, Paul says, my life is about producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because my life is defined by that, it is more needful for me to stay because my life is pointing people to Christ. But what about our lives? And I'm not going to meddle too much this morning, but I'm going to meddle just a little. Sometimes as Christians, we are way, way, way too concerned about things that have nothing to do with Christ at all. Nothing. Our lives should be about pointing people to Christ when they see us, because here's the deal, that is all that ultimately is going to matter. When people see us, do they see Christ? And so Paul says, because of my life, because of who I am in Christ, it's better that I stay, that more people could come to Christ and that others would be encouraged. Our lives, are we encouraging others? Are we helping others? Are we reaching out to others? A true Christian life, a true fruitful life, is about pointing other people to Christ and Christ being magnified. We have this handy dandy little tool nowadays. You know what it's called? I'm going to preach on social media for just one second. Facebook. The Facebook warriors, right? We got the Facebook warriors, and everybody's out there posting this on Facebook and debating this on Facebook, and on and on and on it goes. Our lives need to point people to Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Number three, application. Your life should increase the joy in others. Your life should increase others' joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul said at the end of this verse. He says, and having confidence, I know, verse 25, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for what? For furtherance of what? For furtherance of what? Joy of faith. He says, I want to continue with you all for furtherance of joy in Christ. Did you know our joy, our lives should increase the joy of Christ in those around us? That, do you realize how exciting that is? To have an influence, I mean, to have that kind of an influence upon people around you, that when they're with you, that they feel that joy and that love that you have for Christ. And so our life should increase joy in those around us. Now, just real world application here. I know that sometimes there's difficult things that we go through, and I always joke about this, but you know, have you driven in Colorado Springs lately? It's hard to increase joy with people around you there, right? You know, you're trying to get on the on-ramp and no one will let you over or whatever it may be, and we all have trials. But here's how that happens. Because what is our overriding principle? What is our overriding desire? It's that Christ be magnified. That's really what we're after. And as Christ is magnified, our life is with Him as our goal, is to point people to Christ. Our life with Him as our goal is to increase joy in the lives of those around us. That's what we should be doing. He says, I have confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for furtherance of joy of faith. The joy in others are being increased around us because of our relationship with God. A few more, and we're almost done. A few more. Another application from this passage. And I just enjoy application because sometimes it's one thing to lay the truth out there, but we need to be able to live this in our lives. Number four, application. Am I producing fruit where God has me right now? Paul, you're in prison, all right? I mean, you really, what are you going to get done there? Ask yourself, am I producing fruit where God has me right now? Are you experiencing a trial in your life? You know, the old saying is you're either in a trial, about to go into a trial, or coming out of one, right? But are you producing fruit where God has you right now. In the area of your life, whether you are young or whether you are old, whether you are retired or whether you just started a job, are you producing fruit? Whether you're in a trial, whether you don't even know what I'm talking about in a trial, but how's your life? Are you producing fruit where God has you right now? Maybe you're young and you're like, well, I'll produce fruit when my children are raised. I'll be able to think about it then, right? Or maybe you're older and you're like, well, I'm retired. That means I'm retired from everything, right? I don't have to do it. I'm not worried about that. But so are we producing fruit where God has us right now? He says, my desire is to stay because I know there's fruit to be produced. Number five, do I truly long for Christ above all? Do I truly long for Christ above all? As he says, I am at a strait, verse 23, I am at a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. And then he says this at the end of it, which is far better. Is that my longing to be with Christ? As a Christian, Christ is everything to us. So do I truly long to be with Christ? Two more, we're done. I know I'm killing you with applications. Usually I only do four, but seven this morning. Number six and seven, and we are done. Number six, am I living for others or just myself? Am I living for others or just myself? As a Christian, we recognize it's more than about us. It's about those around us. We may never know who is watching or who is seeing the life that we live. Are we living for others or just ourselves? And we can all be guilty of this, right? Can't every one of us sometimes begin to worry only about ourselves and not about those around us? As the verse I quoted last week where the Bible says, be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you. Are you living for others or just myself? Do you realize, again, another application, little a under six, okay? Another application, could you imagine as a church, if our goal was to live for other people, right? As a husband, as the Bible tells us, preferring one another, that as a husband, that you live for your wife and your wife lives for you and we live for Christ and that we glorify Him in all things, do we live for others or just ourselves? One way to test that, okay, real quick, one way to test whether you're living for others or yourself, it's a real quick question. Do you always have to have your way? Do you always have to have your way? Are you always right? Women, is your husband always right? Careful there, right? Right? Men, are you always right? Well, everybody knows we're always right. No. Are we living for others or for ourselves? Do we look out for those around us? So we ask ourselves, according to Paul says, yes, my greatest desire is to go be with my Lord. That's my life. He is the one I've served. And I know what's there. And I can't wait to be with my Savior. But I recognize, because I want to be here to produce fruit for your joy and your faith, that it will continue to abound, I'm going to stay. That's my desire. And we know he'll eventually lose his life. But his desire is to continue to produce fruit. Are you producing fruit where God has you? Do you long for Christ? Are you living for others or just yourself? Number seven, and we're done. This one's real simple. Is Christ being magnified through my life? Is Christ being magnified through my life? He says in verse number 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also shall Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. Is Christ being magnified in my life? That's Christianity. That's what the Apostle Paul's goal was. That Christ would be magnified in his life. Whether living or dying, Christ to be magnified. A fruitful life points others to Jesus. Our life should increase the joy of others around us. Are we producing fruit where God has us? Do I truly long for Christ and want to be in his presence? Am I living for others or just myself? And is Christ being magnified in my life, with my actions, with my words, with the way I live, with my the way I treat others around me. And so then we understand, he says in verse 25, "In having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." I'll tell you a personal story, and we'll be done this morning. When I was a kid, there was a lady, is actually my best friend's mother, and she's gone to be with the Lord. My best friend's mom, her name was Lois Harper. Her husband's name was Larry Harper. He was the manager of a mission there called Western Indian Ministries, where I live. Lois Harper, looking back, I guess she wasn't that old, but as a young boy, I thought she was. But as I was growing up, Lois Harper had a condition with her eyes where they would not stay open, all right? And they would actually open and close just randomly, right? And there was times they would just close, and they would just stay closed. And then they would just pop open, and they would pop open, all right? And if there's anybody that you would think would say, you know what, God is, he can't use me right now. I can't even see, right? And it was random, opening and closing, opening and closing. But Lois Harper, who had a service about 2 years ago, not quite 2 years ago now, but Lois Harper did not allow that to steal her joy or to stop her impact for those around her. So many times as a kid, I would walk into my friend Joel's house and I would see Lois there, and she would take her fingers and she would prop her eye open with one hand, and she would make homemade bread, and she would make cinnamon rolls, and she would make cookies, and she would call me and Joel, and she would say, "Hey, Joel, so-and-so has been sick. Would you and Josh take these things to their house?" So we'd load up and we'd take them over there. Year after year after year. It even turns out, my mom tells me now, when I was born there on the Navajo Reservation in Gallup, New Mexico, it was Lois Harper that brought food to the house when I was born. And my mom had a blood clot. My dad had a collapsed lung there on the Navajo Indian Reservation. And it was Lois that brought a meal to the house. For years, her eyes would open and close. Lois would even drive sometimes. And we'd see her going down the road, and she'd have those eyes propped up with one hand, and she'd be just going, right? But she would make meals, and she would make bread, and she would serve people, and she would do all these things. And it'd be one thing, Lois could have said, I'm no use right now. What am I going to do? I can't keep my eyes open. But Lois, I'm saying, impacted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people because of her hospitality. So we ask ourselves, am I producing fruit where God has me? Am I magnifying Christ in my life? Am I living for others and not just myself? God is not done with you. Even if you're going through a trial, God can use that. Whatever season or area of your life that you're in, God can use you to help others around you. Joanna and Bethany are going to come and play a closing song for us this morning. Can we bow our heads as we do each and every Sunday? Let's bow our heads for just a moment as they play something for us. Again, I don't know exactly everything you're going through. I don't know everything we're thinking. But I do know that we've all gone through difficulties. I do know we all have hardships. And I want you just to take a moment there in your seat and just think about these verses we've looked at this morning and these applications that we have had. And ask ourselves, am I producing fruit through even a difficult time? Am I watching how God could use me to help others and those around me? Take a moment there in your seat and just talk to the Lord. However He's spoken to your life today, is Christ being magnified in my body? Amen. Wonderful song there. Let's stand to our feet. We'll read our final verse together this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter number 58. Am I producing fruit where God has me? Is Christ being magnified in my life? Let's read this together. Are you ready? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's do it one more time, nice and loud. Are you ready? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, may the Holy Spirit take it and apply it to each of our lives this day. We ask you, Lord, that we, through your power, would produce fruit in whatever situation or whatever season of life that we're in, that we recognize, Lord, that you still have a plan, you still have a purpose in our lives. We thank you for our church. We ask that you would lead and guide us, be with those that are traveling. Thank you for Art and Cecilia that are back safely and for others that will be coming back soon. We ask that you would keep them safe. Lord, be with Grace and Cody as they got married yesterday. Be with them as they travel and just help them to have a wonderful and fruitful marriage, Father, and we're so thankful for them. We thank you, Lord, for this day. May the word of God work in our hearts, and may we be changed more and more into the likeness and the image of Christ through your power. In the name of our Savior, Jesus' name, amen.